As we remember the anniversary of the first ever manned spaceflight on April the 12th, 1961, many people describe mankind's travel in space and the moon landings as the most remarkable and memorable events of the 20th century. I'm Susie Hodges and I spoke to Brother Guy Consolmagno, a Jesuit astronomer and curator of meteorites at the Vatican Space Observatory.
Well, of course, I was a boy growing up in America. I would have been 8 years old when that happened. And I was following the space program with great excitement. They had just orbited a chimpanzee, and we knew that it would only be a matter of time before we thought an American would be in space. So it was quite a shock to feel that the Russians had beat us out. And yet, there was also that tremendous excitement that a human being had actually been into space, and the things that we had only dreamt about or read about in science fiction were actually coming true.
As we all know, of course, that flight by the Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, it triggered, or rather sort of heightened, that great race to the moon between the US and the Soviet Union. Do you still see that landing on the moon in 1969 as the crowning glory of man's travels in space up to now?
In a lot of ways, it really is. It's the one thing that we will be remembered for, we, the people of the 20th century. I can only look back at history and remember that everybody knows about Galileo, and though you may know Galileo was in trouble with the Pope, who remembers who the Pope was anymore? Who remembers that the Galileo affair occurred during the 30 Years' War, or what other events were going on? Galileo is what we remember. In the same way, I think going to the moon, taking our first steps into space, that is what the 20th century will be remembered for in centuries to come.
And how has the history of space travel and its achievements impacted upon your own work as an astronomer?
It made all the difference in the world. First of all, it meant that everyone in my generation wanted to be an astronomer. We wanted to have our eyes looking at space. And that meant not only that we were encouraged to do it, but that the society we grew up in was ready to support us to do it. You know, when I told people I wanted to go into astronomy, nobody looked at me funny and thought, you know, why do you want to do that? You can make more money writing games for computers or something. So that entire sense of a mission of a generation to go into space, that gave us the support to do it in the first place. Beyond that, of course, we could not do the science we do today without having gone into space, without having the robots that have gone to the other planets, and really to have the people who have gone to the moon. Because the things that a human being can do walking on a place, in terms of the science, in terms of being able to select this rock over that rock, in terms of knowing the questions to ask, those are all really important parts of the science. But you have to remember, too, you need also the desire to do it. And for that, I think you have to have people standing there, people in space, people going around the Earth. Nothing beats the human experience itself.
And do you think this exploration of space, this travel in space, can it help us get closer to the divine? Because, of course, you're a Jesuit brother, not just an astronomer.
I think it's really important because both astronomy and religion remind us that there's more important questions than what's for lunch. It pulls us out of our day-to-day immediate worries and concerns and gives us a much larger perspective of who we are, how we fit into this enormous universe. Just as I think traveling in space is the one event that people will remember from our generation, so too, being a human being on this planet gives this planet significance in all of space, because this is a place where human beings can not only observe the enormity of the universe, but in some ways capture that enormity within our own souls, within our own minds.
So how do you feel about the future of manned space travel and what form it will take? I mean, could you do a bit of crystal ball gazing and predict what it could be like after another half century?
It's really hard to predict the future. That's the one thing we know, is it doesn't go in a straight line from where things were in the past. I'm reminded of a wonderful saying that Agatha Christie once said. She couldn't imagine a life where she wouldn't have servants in the house, but she would own an automobile. 50 years ago, could I imagine that I would own 5 computers? 50 years from now, we don't know if there's going to be an easy way to get into space, a space elevator or something, or if we're still going to be using these large, expensive, and rather dangerous rockets. But 500 years from now, I'm convinced we will be going into space as regularly as we cross the oceans, because it's there. It's full of wealth, not only the wealth of the minerals you can find in asteroids and on the moon, but simply the wealth of knowledge and the wealth of the perspective it gives us on who we are and how we fit into the bigger universe.
So you're convinced there's an awful lot more up there in space waiting to be discovered by us?
We always have learned that the more we learn, the more we discover there is to be learned. Our theories for how the solar system were created when I was a student were much simpler than they are now, because we've discovered other solar systems. Our understanding of how planets work today are much more tentative because we've seen so many more planets and we realize things weren't as easy as we thought. There's always more to be discovered. And I say this from a religious point of view. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says that from the beginning of time, God reveals himself in the things he creates. Well, if God is infinite, then this revelation in science, is also going to be infinite. We're never going to run out of things to be surprised by.